acorns jumping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, furry as a mouse. It's a suey nature, a suey nature thing. It's a suey nature, a suey nature thing. It's a mighty fine,
mighty fine,
a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 152, Steps. Sunday, January 15th, 2017. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. Each week, I post photographs and links to the things I'm talking about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. Today's episode features the following segments: the back porch, the front porch, ever-expanding skill set, and off the shelf. Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's Sunday morning, and I'm in one of my favorite places, a studio here in beautiful, sunny Delaware Water Gap, Pennsylvania. We had some light but very pretty snow yesterday. Today, the sun is shining and everything is lit up. It's clear and cold. And I'm not at Vogue Knitting Live. I had thought about maybe taking a trip in for the weekend. It's been challenging to watch everyone's posts on Instagram about how much fun they're having in New York. But I just thought that what I really need to be doing this weekend is working on some of my projects. If I went to Vogue Knitting Live, I would be buying yarn, most likely. And I really don't need to buy yarn. I need to work on my projects. So I've devoted a lot of time to doing that and, you know, making some strides and thinking about this idea of working a little bit on things every day. It's something I've struggled with. I tend to work more in spurts, and I like to have a big, long chunk of time to work on something rather than a lot of little bursts of time. But the reality is I have a difficult time carving out those big chunks, and what I really have are small bursts of time. So can I just take steps? Can I feel that I'm making progress with taking small steps? I'd like to explore that idea. I don't know if I could commit to exploring it for the entire year. But for the first few months of the year, I'd like to see how that works out. All of this is coinciding with a gift I received. I got the Bella Beat leaf for Christmas. It's a personal fitness tracker. It looks like jewelry. It was a very unexpected gift, but very welcome. I was really excited about it. And this is the first time I've ever tracked my steps or seen my sleep patterns reported back to me digitally. I had been doing daily meditations with an app, but now that part is included in this Bella Beat app. So I'm able to see at a glance how all of these small steps add up into the rhythms of my day. And that got me started thinking about whether or not I could do that with my crafting. Because I started making lists of all of the things I wanted to sew, knit, weave, spin, embroider over the course of the year. And then it just felt so overwhelming. When am I going to make the time to do all of that? And I been thinking about, can I start a project and work away at it a little bit by a little bit and really feel satisfied with that? I don't know the answer to that, but I will be exploring that concept over the course of this year, or like I said, over the course of the first few months of the year. The back porch. There are two completed pussy hats after this past week. Thank you everyone who sent and left me messages about your particular stitches cast on and your method for knitting the pussy hat. I was able to put some of those suggestions into use, and I did complete a hat to send to Vermont for my youngest sister. She'll be taking a bus down. I'm not sure if she's actually taking a bus from somewhere in Vermont or if they're first traveling over to New York and taking a bus down from there. And her hat went off. I did use the yarn that I had dyed with Kool-Aid with some of my students last spring and my usual tubular cast on. And there was mention on the board of putting a purl stitch on either side to imitate the seamed look of the original pussy hat that's knit flat and then seamed together. That was really cool. I like that suggestion. Then my friend Martha came over with her knitting yesterday, and she had done so much knitting that the hat was actually a little bit too tall, and I needed to rip out several rounds before I seamed that up for her. Her hat looks absolutely fantastic, and now I feel like I should be knitting a pussy hat. I think I'm out of pink yarn, though. I'll have to take one more look at my stash and see if I can find something that would be suitable. And I think it was Jenny Salmon Graham posted that she was just looking at all of her pink yarn knitting in progress and repurposing it into pussy hats. So I'll have to see what I have, and maybe something will end up actually being ripped out and re-knit. But I'd like to just get that started, and I think that would be great bus knitting for the 4 or 5 hour trip down to DC next Saturday. The front porch. I've been thinking so much about what I would like to do, what projects I would like to make in the upcoming year. And one that I keep thinking about is Tivara. It's a beautiful oversized sweater with a cabled back that appears in a recent issue of Pom Pom magazine. It's so lovely. I think it would be a great staple in my wardrobe. And I'd like to think about the yarn that would be really perfect for knitting that sweater. It's a big sweater, so that's a really involved project. Another thing I've been thinking about is weaving a rug. I attempted a crochet project and hoped that it would be big enough for a rug, but I really didn't have the yarn for that. And I was thinking that it might be interesting to start, just warp the loom and start working with some real workhouse leftover yarns that I have and see if I could weave something that would be suitable for a rug. I just want a small rug for the bottom of my steps. There's a bathroom door off to the right of that landing, and then the steps that go upstairs and the living room behind. And right now I have an old rug that's been folded in half. It's really not made for that space, and it's a very difficult size to purchase a rug for that space. And I thought, why not warp the loom and have that project ongoing and just take small steps toward it every day, maybe with some leftover yarn that I have, and see what happens. I also have a spinning project that's been waiting. I want to wait until I have all of the yarn, my Eloise fleece, spun before I start spinning the Hog Island bats that I purchased from Ross Farm at Rhinebeck this year. I have a gradient set of creamy color, a brown, and then a very dark brown. And I really am looking forward to spinning that, but I want to wait until I have the single spinning complete for the Eloise first. Now I have my Christmas tree all taken down and my spinning wheel is back downstairs. And I think spinning by the fire is a fantastic winter activity. So that will go on the wheel sometime in the future. I have some indistinct plans for embroidery, and I'm really enjoying watching the stitch a day progress of some of my Instagram friends. That's been a lot of fun. And I would like to continue my meditative spinning with perhaps some colorful bats or Rolex that I make on my own. I've signed up for a class at the Spinnery in Frenchtown. It's at the end of this month, and it's all about blending colors, using blending boards and hand cards, how to blend color with those tools, and then what to do with your spinning to get the best results. The teacher is a local artist who I really admire. Her art yarns are superb, and she sells and demonstrates quite a bit locally, but I've had a very difficult time signing up for one of her classes. So that's coming at the end of the month, and I think I will hold off on starting any new projects in that realm until after I take her class. I feel like the new year is a great time to set goals and dream about future projects. And I'd love to hear about anything that you're excited to knit, sew, weave, spin, anything fiber arts related that is on the horizon for you. Ever-expanding skill set. We've been having a lot of fun this month with the casserole. It seems like listeners are nearly as excited about it as I am. There's great recipes going up and a lot of sharing. This week, I made a version that really only resembled the chicken tamale pie that I mentioned in my previous podcast. It really only resembled that in terms of the polenta topping. But now I'm entirely devoted to polenta as a topping for a casserole. I took some leftover frozen pulled pork from a really sizable amount of pulled pork that I made earlier in the year. And I also reserved some of the juice or the cooking liquid from that pulled pork. So the pulled pork was barely thawed. It was still really cold. I put it in the bottom of a casserole dish, and then I sauteed onions and carrots, and at the last minute, I added a whole bunch of frozen peas. That was the second layer. I thawed some of this juice and then thickened it slightly with a mixture of cornstarch and water, a little bit of a slurry. I thickened it and poured that over top of the two layers in the dish. And then I just quick cooked some polenta, added a bit of dried parsley and grated cheese, just leftover cheese I still have in my refrigerator from serving cheese at the holidays, and then let that cook for a while and poured that over the top and then baked. This was such a delicious casserole. The other thing I did that I think is worthy of mentioning is that I had enough for one casserole that serves about four. It's usually enough for the two of us for dinner and then leftovers. And I had a little bit more than that, but it wasn't enough for my two serving size casserole dish. So instead, I just got out two ramekins and I layered my extra ingredients in there. And then I wrapped those in plastic wrap and put them in the freezer. And those are all ready for a weeknight when I just feel like I don't have enough time to devote to a well-thought-out meal, so they would be great with the salad and really easy to do. I always feel so clever when I'm able to put some things in ramekins and freeze them for a future date. I feel like it's such a great investment in my future self. I'm always reminded when I do something like that of something poet Naomi Nye said. Naomi Nye is one of my favorite poets, and I've heard her speak many times, not just reading her poetry, but also talking about the life of a poet. And she said, "Sometimes I don't think of myself as me. I think of myself as someone who works for me. And I think, won't Naomi be so happy when she comes home and sees I've done all of this?" I'm not sure if that's, you know, representative of an illness or a really helpful, healthy way to think about some of the things that we do and the way we invest our time, kind of paying it forward to ourselves. It falls in line, I feel, with this idea of steps and taking small steps and small strides to some greater good, some better future situation. All right, so as successful as that polenta-topped casserole was, I also had a major fail this week. I tried making a kind of enchilada casserole. I had corn tortillas, some really great turkey, ground turkey, and I mixed that with spices, and I also put in a few very dark chocolate chips to make it a little bit of a mole. I put in some frozen corn that I had cut off of corn on the cob this summer. That's just like this beautiful, summery, sunny burst of flavor. And my intention was to follow the directions more or less, putting those corn tortillas into some salsa to soften them up, then filling them, rolling them, topping with cheese. Except the tortillas just cracked and broke when I did that. So then I thought, well, I never have this problem with the flexibility of my tortillas when I heat them in a cast iron pan. So maybe I'll do that. And that was great. They were very pliable. I filled them with the filling. I rolled them up. I put them in the pan, covered with salsa, cheese on the top, baked it. But when I served it, the tortillas were all mushy, and it was nowhere near as good as if we just ate this meal like tacos, which we did the following night. And I was thinking maybe enchiladas are only made with flour tortillas. If that's the case, I probably won't be making them because I prefer corn tortillas so much more than the flour. I just feel like flour tortillas taste pasty. And ever since I started buying corn tortillas, I haven't bought the flour ones at all. I don't have a lot of experience with Tex-Mex kind of cooking. So if anyone out there can give me a word of advice, or just to satisfy my curiosity that this only works with flour tortillas, I would love to know. I've also seen some casserole recipes where it's almost more like a Mexican lasagna. The tortillas are just layered with other ingredients. But I'm thinking that mushy, fall-apart tortilla thing would still be in play with a recipe like that. So I'm not sure. I had one really big success and one real flop. And I'm thinking about the casseroles I might make this week. I have some leftover turkey. I think I have an entire turkey breast from my Thanksgiving turkey that I popped into the freezer. And I've been thinking about potatoes and acorn squash, maybe some kale. I don't know. I might be going off on my own and devising a recipe for some type of casserole this week. Off the shelf. In preparation for the Women's March this coming weekend, I've been reading a lot of poems by my favorite female poets and thinking a lot about this question that's being posed specifically and just more generally, why are you marching? Why are you going? Why are you participating? Whether it be in DC or many of the events held in towns and cities all around the country, all around the globe, thinking about why you're doing something, not just going through the motions of doing it. And also this idea that going to a march and being involved in a big event is really great, but it should be the beginning or only a portion of the greater commitment that you make to a cause. It's worrisome to think that someone might go to the march and think that's their accomplishment. They did that. And for some people, that's a really big deal to do something like that. But the hope is that it's a stepping off point. It's the beginning of a journey of many steps, and that you go there and feel inspired, and all of these other people, men, women, children, are participating in the same thing as you, and that's a kind of empowerment. So reading the poetry of women poets, particularly American female poets, has been my way of preparing myself. And I thought I would share two poems by Lucille Clifton. She's just such a wonderful example of women in poetry in the United States. And I think her poems are a great entry point if you're a person who doesn't have a lot of experience, or maybe is someone who thinks, I don't even like poetry. She could be a great poet to start with. Her poems are very short. She's spoken about the fact that, you know, as a very busy person and a mother, she didn't have time to write long poems. So a lot of her things are very brief. The words in her poems are often just one and two syllables. The lines are very short. Her poems are notable for having very little in the way of capitalization, punctuation. The lines are very short. And all of this creates a kind of accessibility to the work that a lot of people respond to. So I thought I would share one poem by reading it aloud and share another poem in Lucille Clifton's own voice. The Poetry Foundation is growing as an online resource, and one of the most important aspects is all of these audio versions of poets reading their own work. And so I thought it would be great to conclude with Lucille Clifton in her own voice at the end of this podcast. The poem I'm going to share with you is a poem Lucille Clifton wrote to her hips. These hips are big hips. They need space to move around in. They don't fit into little, pretty places. These hips are free hips. They don't like to be held back. These hips have never been enslaved. They go where they want to go. They do what they want to do. These hips are mighty hips. These hips are magic hips. I've known them to put a spell on a man and spin him like a top.
Won't you celebrate with me what I have shaped into a kind of life? I had no model. Born in Babylon, both non-white and woman, what did I see to be except myself? I made it up here on this bridge between starshine and clay, my one hand holding tight my other hand. Come, celebrate with me that every day something has tried to kill me and has failed.